In the United States is Easter. Is Easter. Go with me now to John chapter 1. And I'm going to read this to you out of the CEV version. But we're going to look at John chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 14. And in a society where we have so much trouble relating to one another, so much trouble realizing where we fit in, and so much trouble just existing in today's society, by the end of this message, what I pray happens for you is that you understand how Easter relates to you. What was done just specifically for you. Many times I get up here and I preach, hey guys, we're taking things too personal in life. Don't take things too personal. But today what I want to minister to you is take it personal. Take it personal. Take Easter personal. John chapter 1, verse 14. I'm going to pray right now. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you, God, that your word, God, it falls on good ground right now. Lord, I ask that you would go up and down each and every aisle. Lord, open up our understanding, and God, open up our hearts to receive your word right now. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became a human being. Now, when it says the Word, that is talking about Jesus. So, in this verse, it says that Jesus became a human being, and he lived here with us. Now, Jesus came down here, and the Word of God says that he dwelled among us. That he was here and he lived life and he breathed the same air that we breathe now. And he did that to become relatable to you. He did that to die for your sins, but he did it, don't make any mistake, to become relatable to you. There are things that you say, you know what, I'm going through, and I don't know if anybody understands me. I don't know if anybody can understand what I'm going through. I've had a hard season. I'm still in a hard season. And I want to tell you right where you sit today that God knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're going through because he died on the cross to know exactly how you feel. The word calls Jesus the man of sorrow. So you know what? Jesus knows what depression feels like. He knows how anxiety feels. He knows what sadness feels like because not only did he die on the cross for our sins, but he took it a step further and he became sin. He became sin, and that's a totally different thing than just dying for it. He became it. And so to read on here, it says the Word became a human being and lived here with us. We saw his true glory, the glory of the one and only Son of the Father. For him, the complete gifts of undeserved grace and truth have come down to us. You know, there's undeserved grace for your life. There's undeserved favor for your life. The other day, somebody paid me one of the hugest compliments I think a pastor could ever get. And they said, Pastor Kelly, the reason I keep coming back is because you have yet to tell me that I'm going to hell. Well, that's not my job, nor am I qualified to judge you there. Amen. It's my job to love you and to be the best pastor that I can be to you today. And if you don't hear another word that I'm saying, what I want you to hear is God loves you. And God is not sitting here today mad at you. He's not sitting here judging you for what you haven't forgiven yourself for. God loves you exactly right where you're at. Exactly where you're at. Does he want to come in and change your life for the better and make it better? Yes, he does. But make no mistake, God is not mad at you in here today. If you've done things in your life, I'm going to encourage you to look past that and to look up because your redemption draws near. He died just specifically for you. And I'm asking you this morning to take that very personal. With everything else that you take so personal. You know, if somebody looks at you wrong in Walmart, you're going to be mad about it. Take what he did for you personal. Hey, I get it. Sometimes if I'm having a bad day and I circle the parking lot and I see somebody's car in there I don't like, I'm like, no, I'm not going in there today. I get it. Now, you're going to have to lighten up in here because we preach the truth here. And I'm going to preach where we live. And y'all can laugh in this service. It's okay. We're not that uptight. Verse 15, it says, John spoke about him and he shouted, "This is the one that I told you would come. He is greater than I am because he was alive before I was born. And because of all the Son is, we have been given one blessing after another." I want you to know this morning that you're blessed. I want you to know this morning, despite what you're going through, that you're still blessed. If you're looking at your life and you're counting everything that's gone wrong, I'm going to ask you to look at it again and count everything that's gone right. Amen. Change the way that you're looking at your life because, see, whatever you're in right now, God's going to turn it around and he's going to make it better. Even if what you're going through right now is good and you're in a good season, he still wants to make it better. He cares about what you're going through. Praise God. And it says, because of all that the Son is, we have been given one blessing after another. The law was given by Moses, but Jesus Christ brought us undeserved kindness and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only Son who is truly God and is the closest to the Father has shown us what God is like. Now, if you've ever sat in a church service and some pastor stupidly got behind a pulpit and tried to tell you that God didn't like you, I wouldn't suggest you go there again. Because not only does he like you, he loves you. He loves you this morning. So Jesus can relate to you. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 15 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. So not only do we have somebody that loves us, but we have someone that can sympathize with us. We have someone that on our worst day that we feel like we've ever had, not only does he love us in the worst day when we've acted up, when we've acted a fool, when we've acted out, maybe when somebody else has done something to us, not only does he love us then, but he sympathizes and understands us. How many of you have ever gone through something in your life and you thought, you know what, I don't even understand what's going on in my own life anymore. I don't understand this. I don't know why I'm having to go through this. I don't understand why I'm at where I'm at. I don't know. One day I just woke up and I looked and I'm living in a life that I never expected for myself. You know, one of the top things that you have to grieve is the idea of what you thought that your life was going to be like. Now, I can relate to you. Kayla, I had it all. The house, the white picket fence, literally, the kids, everything. And in a moment, gone. We have a God that sympathizes with where we're at. But one of the things that we have to do is we have to let go and we have to mourn the things that we thought that it was going to be like to accept what God has for us. So many times we're holding on to what we thought, what life was going to be like, that we cannot accept and receive the biggest blessing that God could possibly give us because we're still holding on to something behind us. I'm going to encourage you today to let that thing go that's behind you, to look forward, to look straight ahead, and to understand that God loves you. He can sympathize with you, and he cares about what you're going through. So let us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. How many of you have ever done a number 10? You've screwed up some things in your life. Maybe you've sinned some and you liked it, so you sinned some more. I said we were going to preach where we live. I'm going to read that verse again because this is for us. But we have one who has been tempted in every way. We have one who's been tempted in every way. You know, you may be on the fence right now with God. You may be on the fence with him. You may say, you know what, I don't even know if I believe in God. You know what, it really don't matter if you do or not. What he did for you still is the same. I'm going to say that one more time. It does not matter if you believe in him or not, because what he did for you, it remains the same. So we don't serve a God that can't sympathize with us. We don't serve a God that when we've messed up for the millionth time, guess what? How many of you ever get sick of people? How many of you like when somebody keeps doing the same dumb thing a million times and they want you to just accept the millionth and oneth time? How many of y'all like that? I'm going to tell you, we serve a God that he is able to sympathize with us. Why is he able to do that? Because he sent his son to die for us. And Jesus felt everything that we feel. He was tempted in every way. And he loves us. And he can sympathize with us. You know, you may be mad at God in here today. I hear that all the time. You know what, Pastor Kelly, this happened in my life and I'm mad at God about it. I was doing everything that I could do, and God let that happen, and I'm just going to be mad at him. Look here, I'm going to encourage you to forgive that and to move on, because you know what? God is not the author of the confusion that took place in your life. But he is a God of order, and what is out of order in your life, he will establish it. He will put things right back where they need to go. He may move some things around, but God loves you in here today. He loves you in here today. Go with me to Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to look and we're going to start at verse 27. You know, one of the things that I always think about a church service is this right here. And specifically, services like today. Some people, you know, you may come because, well, I want my kids to have a good Easter. They're going to have an Easter egg hunt. We're going to take them to that church. Some may come because you want to sit by your family member and make them happy and come for a service. Some people, you're coming because this is what you've done for 30 years, so you're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep on filling that pew. Some people are here for whatever reason, because maybe you just, this is all, you come to church two services a year, and that's why you're here, because today's Easter. But I'm going to tell you this. Whatever brought you here today, you are what is called right here, right in the middle of what's going on today. You are in a divine appointment. A divine appointment. You say, well, what is that? That sounds spooky. Let me explain a divine appointment to you. Whatever brought you in here, make no mistake, it wasn't the Easter bunny, it wasn't the eggs, it wasn't the lunch, it wasn't this, it wasn't that, it was God. There will never be another service, Miss Barbara, where the exact same people are here under this same building ever again. Amen. Ever. You may come back, you may never come again, but right now you're in a divine appointment and God wants to minister to you today. What does the word say? The word says that today is the day of salvation. Am I up here trying to get you saved? Nope. What am I up here doing? Trying to tell you how much that he loves you. Trying to tell you how much that he cares about you. Trying to let you walk out of here knowing that you can hold your head up because life is going to look up for you. Jesus can relate to you, and Easter changed everything. Easter really does change everything for you. And I'm going to show you in the Word why. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium. Now, I want to explain something. Jesus had just gone through. He had been handed over. And he was going through what we would call today as like a trial. And they had decided that they were going to crucify him. That went through Pilate. And Pilate did everything he could to get them to pick the criminal to crucify instead of Jesus. But the crowd wanted Jesus. The same crowd that a week before was praising him and welcoming him in, then a week later was denying him and rejecting him and wanting him crucified. See, sometimes in your life, what's going to happen is there's people that are for you one minute, and then the next minute, they're stabbing you in the back, and you're going to have to get over that and move on with your life, or you're going to be a bitter old bag. Amen? Let's just preach it how it is. So we have Jesus, and he was turned over. They're going to crucify him, and here's where we're at. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. Y'all say whole. Okay. They had a lot of soldiers. They were all there. Kayla, it wasn't just a few of them. It was all of them. So we've got the Lamb of God, Jesus, and we have all of the soldiers. And here's what they did. The whole company of soldiers around him. And in verse 28, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. I'm going to read that one more time. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. Verse 28, they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They stripped him. They took his clothes off. They stripped him down. And they put a scarlet robe on him. Why did they strip him? To bring shame, embarrassment, to mock him. How does this relate to you today? How many times in your life have you been going on in your life and you feel like through one trauma to one chaotic mess to another that life in this world has stripped you down till you feel like you're nothing? Amen? Things happen in this life. The Word of God says in this life there's going to be trials and there's going to be tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome those things. But in your life, I know that I have felt it before. There have been times that I have gone through struggles and battles through no fault of my own. I didn't ask for them. I didn't bring them on. But nevertheless, they came and they were devastating. And it left me feeling stripped down of every single thing that I was. There's times in your life where you have a hard time figuring out who you are again because you've been through so much. How can Jesus relate to you? He can relate to you because there was a point in time when he was taken, and we read it here in the Word, where they stripped him down to shame him. You know, the devil has orchestrated things in people's life to strip them down to where they feel like they're not worth anything. That they're not good enough. That because they went through this, they're disqualified to do this or the other. God wants you to know and hear this morning that you're not disqualified to do anything. Whatever he has for you to do, he'll qualify you. So they stripped him down. They put a scarlet robe on him. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. What was the thorns for? To bring pain. To bring pain. There's a lot of good people that they've decided they just have to live with the pain that they've gone through. I want to tell you in here today that you have a Savior, that He endured pain so you wouldn't have to. There's things that go on in people's life and they're painful. They're chaotic. They're traumatizing. They're disappointing. I don't know where people are at today with Jesus. But I'm asking you, if you ain't with Him tight, give Him the chance. Let Him come into your life and make it better. If you've been away from Him, come back to Him. If you've gotten mad at Him, look here. Say, God, I got mad at you. Give me grace and help me to move on because I want to be your kid. And they twisted the crown of thorns and set it on his head. And they put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. And they spit on him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. See, there's times where you go through things and you feel like you cannot catch a break because the same thing keeps happening to you over and over again. And you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, when can I just move on? When am I going to be able to just go forward in my life? And you know what? I want to tell you this morning that whatever you're going through, it has a shelf life. God's not going to let you continue to go through that. Now I need up here, Tyler. We've got this over here. And Brother Mikey, come up here. And Frank is going to handle this middle section. You're going to handle this one. And you're going to handle that one. And I'm going to have them pass something out. Because whether or not you like my preaching or not, I don't really care if you do. But I want you to at least remember it. So I'm going to make sure you do. You're going to remember my necklace, and you're going to remember me. Amen? I said, I want the gaudiest necklace I can possibly find. And I said, God, help me. Let me come across it. And I came against this gaudy thing. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, this is it. This is the gaudiest one you're going to get. And then I said, well, then I need a disco ball to go with it. So I bought the shirt. But I'm getting older. And I wanted my feet to be comfortable. So I picked these ugly things, and here's what we're going with. These guys are going to get you this spoon. Isn't God good? God loves you in here today. He really, really loves you, and you are not here by accident. I don't like churches where everybody's all uptight, feel like you can't take a deep breath or you're going to interrupt something. That ain't this kind of church. Are we about done back there, guys? Okay. Oh, yeah, I want one too. You can just put it up here, sweetie. Yeah, you can just put that there. Now I'm going to draw us all back in. Because what I have learned in ministry and what I've learned about people is if you can get them to see something. You know, we ask you to believe in a God that you can't see with your natural eye. But let me tell you something. If you look hard enough in your life, you will see a loving God that was there from the very moment that you took breath. But I want to give you something today that you can see. And it's these spoons. I'm going to read these verses back to you again, and I just want you to hold that spoon because this spoon is going to relate to your life, just as Jesus can relate to you. I'm going to read this whole thing again. And I'm going to draw us right back in. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus in the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And then they twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and they knelt in front of him and they mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. And they spit on him. You know, there's people that life has just spit on you. One good time after another. Now, when I was little, I was like Ellie Mae Clampett. I was a Tom girl. Tom boy, Tom girl, whatever you call it. I was. And we got on the school bus one day, and I've got a sister that's 5 years older than me, and she's sitting in the back. Now, I am so thankful to the living God that he did not give me girls, because I'd have a whole nother ministry. It'd be in prison. And we got up on this school bus, and this is one of the reasons I don't let my kid ride the school bus, because school buses really creep me out, because I know what used to go on the one that I rode. But we got on the school bus, and there was this older boy. And Casey was just a little teeny bopper, a little preteen. And he had been messing with her and trying to do things that was unacceptable. And I've always had a very protective personality. And I was just little. And I had had enough of him. See, at some point in your life, you're going to have to decide that you have had enough. And nobody can make that decision for you. You need to get sick and tired of the devil doing what he's doing enough to say no more. And I had had it that specific day with that kid. And he was way older than me. And he was back there and he was trying to whatever with Casey. And I walked right up to him and I just began to dress him down and tell him he would be stopping that. Well, he wasn't going to agree to that. See, the devil ain't just going to go away quietly. You're going to have to raise a fuss and raise a standard. And so I just whacked him. I had no fear. Well, then he grabs my hands. And I remember having my little fist, and I was just a little bitty girl, and he began to just shake me. Let me tell you something. There's going to be times in your life where the devil's just shaking you. But see, God done told you he'd give you a firm foundation. You're going to have to get up and claim that. You're going to have to get up and stand on the word when everything don't look good. You can't be a sissy. Because there's times where you're going to have to just stand up and be strong. And this big old kid, he grabbed me by the wrist and he began to shake me. And then he began to laugh and he said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And look here, I'm an Arkansas girl at the end of the day. I hawked up and I got all that snot, all the phlegm. I got the green stuff down up in my chest. Back in the day when I could really hawk a loogie, man, I could do it. And I hawked up a loogie, and I leaned over, and I spit it right in his face. And then something magical happened. He let go. Well, the next day, the real enforcer came on the bus, and that was Daddy. And he looked at Junior, and he said, "Junior, there's a boy that's messing with my daughter, and if he messes with her again, I'm going to get on this bus, and I'm going to pick him up by the hair, and I'm going to drag him off the bus, and I'm going to deal with him." Let me tell you something. Jesus can relate to you because he went through everything for you. The broken heart that you felt in your life, he was broken for you. He was bruised for you. The punishment that brought us peace, that was on him. Somebody already paid your tab. That needs to sink in. And so they stripped him, they mocked him, made fun of him, they stripped him down again and then put his old clothes back on him. When life has stripped you of everything that you thought you were and everything that you thought that you'd have by now at this point in your life, Jesus relates to you. Easter changed everything for you. Let's go to Isaiah We're going to look at chapter 53. He made sure that he could relate to you. You know, when I became a pastor, I told God, I said, God, I had no idea that I was going to have to be Dr. Phil. And I am not a good Dr. Phil, but I have heard some stuff. In about year two, here's what I realized. There were going to be things that I was going to hear that people were going to tell me that I was never going to be able to relate to because I had not been through those things that they had. And so with us and with each other, there's times where one of us is going through something and we just can't relate to them because we've never been through that. But I'm asking you to take what he did for you personal because of this right here. There is nothing that will ever go on with you that he did not experience himself. He can relate to you right in your life. Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to start with verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men. You know what? Not everybody's going to like you, and they don't have to. Not everybody's going to like you, and they don't have to. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and familiar with suffering. It says here, Jesus was familiar with suffering. When life, everybody get your spoon out. I want to see those spoons. I'm going to have to get a picture of this. This is great. I'm like, don't have your cell phones out in church, but I'm going to have mine. Y'all get your spoons up. This is great. People are going to be like, what are they doing down there? We knew that church was weird, but what are they doing? Yep. You got your spoon? Okay. There's times in your life where you're going through something and you just feel like constantly, it's just constant. It's just being heaped on you, spoonful by spoonful. It just keeps on trouble sometimes, trauma sometimes, one problem after another. You done got the dishwasher fixed and by golly, now the fridge went out. You just replaced your tires because they were bare. It cost $1,000 to get some new ones. And by golly, you've already got a flat. And there's times where just stuff just keeps on and keeps on. Now look here, this is just a little spoonful. There's a lot of times in life where it ain't even a spoon, it's a shovel. Right? It's too bad I don't, yeah, Frank. No, look here, Frank's the best guy. There's times where you're going on in your life and here's trouble and it's just being scooped up on you. And you just feel like, God, how much more can I take? And it just keeps on, and it keeps on. And then you begin to feel like, God, did I do something wrong? Why is all the trouble hitting me? Lord, what did I do? And you know what? Many, many times it's nothing that you did. Now, I want to talk to people up in here today. Because, see, I may never see you again. And I want you to think, and you know what? This right here, this is what people are missing in their life. You think, well, I don't need to go to church. I can talk to Jesus anytime. Yes, you can. But let me tell you something. You get to come to church. And you get to be a part of a church family. But you know what? Here's trouble. And it just keeps on being piled up on you. And a lot of times, when the shovel comes out, that's when people get mad at God. When we've got trouble by the truckload. I've had it by the truckload before. That's not a time to quit. That's not a time to question God. That's not a time to be mad at God. That's a time to buckle down and say, you know what, God? I understand that your word said that at the end of the day, when it was all said and done with, you promised victory. You promised that in your word. How could he make that promise? Because of what happened with his son. Before Christ died, there was not a way. There were so many laws. There were so many rules. There were so many things that said, well, if you ever sinned, you're done. You're going to hell. You know what? I've never preached a message, Jill, where I told people they were going to hell. You know why? Because usually if people are on the wrong path, they already know it. Just like I'm not coming to preach to you today and tell you about Jesus rolling the stone away, even sinners know that. But I want to tell you today that he relates to you. That he knows you better than you know yourself. That he loves you more than you could ever imagine. And that he cares for you. And people act like, well, you just got to run God down. Look here, run to God all you want to, and that's great. But make no mistake, God will meet you right where you're at. If you're in the middle of trauma and chaos and depression, he'll meet you right up in the middle of that depression, and he'll hold his hand out and walk you through it. If you've met him in the middle of cancer, hold out your hand, let him pull you out, and let the word become alive in your life where you're claiming by his stripes we are healed. There's promises in his word, and we can stand on the promise because of what Jesus did. Easter changed everything for us. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely. Y'all say it with me. Surely. Don't call me Shirley. But surely. Surely he took up our infirmities. I want my guys back up here. I want y'all to pick up the spoons. If you thought I was giving you this free spoon, you were wrong. We got a food ministry here. We're taking the spoons up now. When you're like 100, you're going to tell your grandkids. One time I went to this church, and there was this crazy preacher. She had the worst, ugliest necklace on, and she gave us spoons, and we thought we were going to at least get to keep the spoon, and then she took those. Look here, I'm giving you something way more than a spoon. I'm trying to give you hope today. Amen. God is good. He's good all the time. Now, y'all bring me those spoons. Thank you, Brother Mikey. Thank you, Tyler. Let's read this verse 4. Surely he took up our infirmities. It's a for sure thing. He took them up. Somebody needs to let this sink into you right now. When trouble is being spooned on you, when it's being heaped on you, by the truckload, by the spoonful, by the shovelful. Surely, surely, it's a for sure thing. For sure, for sure, for sure. See, some of you have been asking God, God, am I going to make it out of this? Look here. It's a for sure thing. God is not a man that he would lie to you. What he promised you in your life, he will bring it to pass. I'm asking you to get to know God because you need to know what he says about you. You need to know what God says about you. I'm not telling people they're going to hell today, but what I will tell you about hell is it really exists. And you get to make the decision where you go. Surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. For sure, he took up the infirmity and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Have you ever been through something and it just left you crushed? And you had a broken heart, you had a broken spirit. Look here, he was crushed for you. Take that personal. I know people that if somebody doesn't like their post on Facebook, they're offended. People are taking things too personal in life today. So on that note, I'm going to ask you to take what he did for you personally. He was crushed for you. And he has no regrets. He doesn't have any regrets. There's been a lot of times where we've wondered, am I just a regret to somebody? Do people regret ever having anything to do with me? Boy, I've really messed up. Christ does not regret you. And he loves you. He loves you whether or not you believe in him. He loves you whether or not you follow him. He loves you whether or not you're in church. He loves you whether or not you're out of church. I encourage you to give him your life. All of it. All of it. All of it. Some people say, I don't know what God wants for me. He wants it all. He wants it all. The part that people don't want to give him is the sadness and the grief and the guilt and the shame and the depression and the stress and all of those things. We think we have to look our best and be our best. Look here, you just have to be real. He'll take care of the rest. So surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. Go with me to John chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 28 through 30, and this is the last verse for me. John chapter 19, verse 28. You know, I've been in the ministry long enough to know this. If I play just the right praise and worship song, if I dictate the lights just right, if we really get you in here and get you all up in your feelings, I can get everybody to say the sinner's prayer. I'm not here to dictate anything. I'm not going to stand up here with a violin and play just the right song and try to dictate and make you cry at the altar so I can get on Facebook and say 53 people got up today and they did this, this, and this. Because you know what? Look here, I'm not here to get you up in the pew. I'm up here to get you into heaven, and you're going to make that choice. You're going to make that choice. You say, Pastor Kelly, what do I do with a message like this? The only thing that you can do with a message like this is live out the sermon. Live it out. What happens when people come to church? They receive a word, and then a lot of times they go out, and that word never goes anywhere because people don't make the choice to live it out. Live out your life with intention. When you decide that you're just good for nothing and you're worthless, look here, you're selling yourself short. I'm asking you to believe what I told you today. That he loves you. That he would have done it for just one of you. But he did it for all of us. So John chapter 19, verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it. They put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop, plant, and they lifted it up to the lips of Jesus. Verse 30, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. What do you do with the message like today? Understand a couple things. He cares about you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. And understand this. It is finished. It is finished. He finished it. When you don't know if you're going to make it through, you need to stand on the word that we just read. It's finished. When it looks like it's all undone and life has gotten really messed up and you don't know if things can ever be right again, you need to stand on the word and you need to say, you know what, God, you sent your son in his last words where it is finished. And so, God, in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter what I'm going up against. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you finished it. That you finished it. Lord, I'm not going to walk by what I can see, taste, hear, smell, any of that. I'm going to walk off of what you said. What did he say? It's finished. It's finished. Now you can walk out of here today and you can go on about your life and nothing will change. Or you can walk out of here today and say, you know what? I need to get a closer relationship with him. Maybe you've heard a lot of things about God that's not true. Look here, I hope I've set that straight for you today. Y'all stand to your feet. And I do want to say a couple things. They're in there getting ready. If you have a kid that is going to be involved in the Easter egg hunt, I'm going to ask you that you stay. But if you don't have